Chapter 6, French Louisiana. Jean-Baptiste Lemoyne was born in Montreal, in today's Canada, in 1680. He was the 12th born in a family that had 13 children in all. Like his father and his brothers, Jean-Baptiste had a title that indicated he had high social status. He inherited the title Sieur de Bienville at the age of 10 when an older brother died. Many of Bienville's brothers distinguished themselves in the French military service. Following that family tradition, Bienville entered the Navy at age 12. By age 17, he had taken part in many military engagements. In some of them, he fought alongside his older brother, Pierre Lemoyne, Sieur d'Iberville. In 1698, Iberville asked Bienville to join him on a voyage to France. King Louis XIV had decided to establish a settlement on the lands La Salle had claimed for France and named Louisiana in 1682. After receiving instructions from the king, the brothers left France and began the journey to Louisiana. Iberville commanded a fleet of 4 ships with about 200 men on board. After stopping in the Caribbean to resupply, the brothers and their crew arrived off the Gulf Coast in January 1699. Iberville returned to France 3 times in the colony's earliest years. During his 3rd trip, France declared war and Iberville was ordered to defend French colonies in the Caribbean. He died of yellow fever in 1706 while in Havana, Cuba. His death left the Louisiana colony's future uncertain. After his brother's death, Bienville became the leader of Louisiana. He played a leading and sometimes controversial role in the first 4 decades of the colony's existence. He was the founder of New Orleans and is remembered as the father of Louisiana. Bienville had both successes and failures as a leader, but many of the colony's problems were beyond his control. Sometimes problems arose because France, England, and Spain were competing to establish colonies. Other difficulties were caused by a lack of support and supplies, or they came in the form of warfare between the colonists and Native American tribes. In this chapter, you will learn about the early exploration and settlement of Louisiana, the administrative schemes France tried in hopes of making the colony an economic success, and the various people who made up the founding generation of the Louisiana colony. Section 1. Exploration and Early Settlements. As you read, look for triumph and tragedy for French explorer La Salle, exploration and settlement by brothers Iberville and Bienville, relocation of the main settlement from Fort Maurepas to Mobile Bay, Bienville's challenges after his brother's death, terms, mouth, commandant, commissary commissioner. The first Europeans to see and travel across the lands that became Louisiana were Spaniards. In 1519, Alonso Alvarez de Pineda led an expedition to map the southeastern coast of North America, where it borders the Gulf of Mexico. 20 years later, Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto led 600 men on an expedition across most of the states that make up the modern South. When de Soto died of fever along the banks of the Mississippi River in 1542, the surviving members of his expedition sailed down the river and returned to Spanish territory in Mexico. Their detailed reports of what they saw created little interest on the part of the Spanish, whose priority was finding gold and silver. Since de Soto's expedition found none, Spanish interest in the region declined. La Salle's return and death. The first French explorers to arrive in Louisiana were led by René Robert Cavalier, Sieur de La Salle. He hoped to locate a trade route that would connect French territory in Canada with trade routes in Asia. He did not achieve that goal, but La Salle did make it to the mouth, the place where a stream enters a large body of water, of the great river now called the Mississippi. On April 9, 1682, La Salle claimed the surrounding region for France and named it Louisiana in honor of his king, Louis XIV. A small celebration accompanied the event and included a religious service with prayers and songs sung in Latin. La Salle placed a large log on the spot to mark where the claim had been made official. Today, that site, located in modern-day Plaquemines Parish, is marked by a monument that tells the story of the colony's origins. LaSalle returned to France, where he received royal sponsorship for establishing a permanent settlement in Louisiana. He was given a small fleet of ships, and 300 settlers accompanied him on his return journey. Unfortunately, LaSalle's second expedition ended in failure. For unknown reasons, but probably due to errors in navigation, LaSalle and his crew failed to locate the entrance to the Mississippi River. Instead, the fleet sailed all the way to Texas and came ashore at Matagorda Bay, where LaSalle established a temporary base he called Fort St. Louis. He then set out on foot to try to locate the river. During that difficult journey, some of LaSalle's men became angry and planned to kill him. They carried out their plan by ambushing and murdering him on March 19, 1687. Only a handful of the people who accompanied LaSalle on his second expedition survived. In 1689, the Spanish, who were concerned about rumors of a French settlement in territory they claimed, located the site of Fort St. Louis. The fort had long been abandoned. The few survivors the Spanish found were orphaned French children who had been taken in by local Native American tribes. Iberville and Bienville. 12 years passed between the time of LaSalle's death and the next attempt to establish a Louisiana colony. The French were finally driven to action by the fear that their two most serious rivals, England and Spain, would establish permanent settlements near the Mississippi River before they did. Those concerns were justified. Spain had already begun to establish a fort and settlement at Pensacola Bay. Louis XIV gave royal support for the settlement of Louisiana to Pierre Lemoyne, Sieur d'Iberville, in 1698. Iberville's initial voyage. Iberville, accompanied by his brother Bienville, commanded a fleet of four ships that left France in October 1698. After a stop for supplies in the Caribbean, Iberville and his men arrived on the Gulf Coast and landed briefly near Pensacola in January 1699. Sailing westward along the coast, Iberville established a temporary settlement on an island off the coast of Biloxi Bay in today's state of Mississippi, which he named Ship Island. Iberville then set off to find the Mississippi River. Using information provided by Native Americans, Iberville and his men reached the mouth of the Mississippi River on March 2, 1699. The following day, Iberville named the location of their first camp Point Mardi Gras because they reached it on the date of that Catholic holiday. Iberville and his men then explored the river as far as modern-day Pointe Coupee Parish before splitting into two groups and returning to Ship Island by two separate routes. The founding of Fort Maurepas. Although the French were determined to control the mouth of the Mississippi River, Iberville decided that the nearby Gulf Coast was a more promising place to locate his first settlement. The French began building a fortification near the site of present-day Ocean Springs, Mississippi. They named the settlement Fort Maurepas in honor of the Comte de Maurepas, who served as Secretary of State to the King of France. 70 soldiers and 12 cannons were stationed at the fort. In May 1699, Iberville returned to France. He planned to bring back supplies and additional settlers. He particularly hoped to return with some French women because all of the members of the first expedition were men. He left a lieutenant named Sieur de Sauvol in charge at Fort Maurepas. Bienville's explorations. In his brother's absence, Bienville continued to explore the river and its surroundings. He encountered many Native Americans and began to learn their languages. He also unexpectedly encountered an English ship sailing up the Mississippi River in August 1699. Bienville suspected that the English were there to scout sites for a possible settlement. Because he knew this was a threat to French plans, he acted boldly in response. Bienville told the English that France had already claimed the river and the surrounding regions, and he ordered them to depart. He also told them that there was a large fleet of French ships and troops nearby who were ready to attack if the English did not follow his orders. Bienville was bluffing, so he was very lucky that the English believed him and sailed back downriver and out into the Gulf of Mexico. The spot on the river where this event took place was named English Turn in honor of Bienville's success. The event convinced Bienville that the French had to build a fort on the banks of the river to protect the French claim. When Iberville returned in January of 1700, he and Bienville settled on a location 54 miles above the mouth of the river and named it Fort Mississippi. The move to Mobile Bay. Iberville returned to France for a second time in May 1700, leaving Savoy in charge once again. When Savoy died of fever in the summer of 1701, Bienville took command of the Louisiana colony. When Iberville returned with supplies and another group of settlers in early 1702, he made Bienville's authority over the colony official. Iberville and Bienville also joined forces to move the main settlement from Fort Maurepas to a new and more favorable site. The soil around Fort Maurepas had proved too sandy for farming, and the site had flooded more than once. The brothers situated the second Louisiana settlement near Mobile Bay in today's state of Alabama. After overseeing the construction of a settlement named Fort Louis, Iberville returned to France a third and final time in March 1702. He never returned to Louisiana. While he was in France, the country declared war and Iberville was drafted into military service. He was ordered to the Caribbean to protect French colonies. While in Havana, Cuba, Iberville contracted yellow fever and died. Administrative challenges. When Bienville learned of his brother's death, he assumed responsibility for the Louisiana colony. Bienville had his hands full securing enough food and supplies for the colonists. Because the soil around the first settlements was not productive, the colony was dependent on food supplied by France. Those shipments were irregular and rarely had enough supplies to keep the colonists well fed. Very often, the colonists relied on friendly Indians who would sell a part of their crops in exchange for trade goods. Those trade goods were important not only to buy food, but also because the Native Americans considered them to be an indication of goodwill. When the French did not bring them annual gifts, the Native people considered this a sign of hostility. Bienville worked hard to maintain peaceful relationships with neighboring tribes. One way he did this was by learning their customs as well as their languages. He also sent settlers to live with different tribes for periods of time so they, too, could communicate skillfully with the native people. Keeping peace within the settlement also proved to be a challenge. Many of the colonists complained about Bienville's leadership. Some of them put their complaints into detailed letters they sent back to France. The way France organized the colony's governance contributed to these disagreements. After Iberville's death, the French court gave Bienville the title of commandant, officer in command. He felt slighted because he was not named governor, but the title of commandant did give him control over military and civilian affairs. However, the colony's economic affairs were controlled by a separate commissary commissioner or business manager. This division of governing authority resulted in near constant disagreements throughout the French colonial period. Bienville and the first commissary commissioner who was sent to Louisiana fought constantly. An influential priest made the situation even worse when he joined forces with the business manager and wrote detailed letters questioning Bienville's leadership. These events led to an investigation of Bienville, who had to devote precious time and energy to defending himself. After a new commissary commissioner arrived to hear the evidence, Bienville was cleared of wrongdoing. He remained as commandant until a new governor was appointed in 1713. Bienville remained on the scene, but many other men also entered the colony's leadership struggles at this time. Special feature, Henri de Tonty. Henri de Tonty was born in Italy about 1650, but moved with his family to France as a child. He entered the French military in his teens and lost one of his hands in an explosion during a naval battle. Tonty replaced the hand with an iron hook, which earned him the nickname the Iron Hand. Tonty traveled to New France in 1678 with René Robert Cavalier, Sieur de La Salle, and was also with him on the voyage down the Mississippi in 1682. When La Salle returned to France, Tonty stayed and continued exploring the lower Mississippi Valley. Before leaving Louisiana, Tonty left a letter for La Salle with a tribe near the Mississippi River. La Salle never returned to Louisiana, but the letter was given to Bienville in 1699 during the initial French expeditions to explore the river. The letter provided proof to Iberville and Bienville that this was the river La Salle had found and the area he had named Louisiana. Later, Tonty himself returned to the Gulf Coast. He assisted Bienville in the early years of colonial settlement and was effective at maintaining good relationships with Native American tribes. He died of yellow fever near Mobile in 1704. The following is a translation of part of the letter Tonty left for La Salle. Dear Sir, when I found that the post on which you set up the arms of the king had been knocked down by driftwood, I had others erected on this side, about 7 leagues above the sea, and I left a letter in a tree close by, in a hole on the back side, with a notice above it. The Quinipissa having danced the calumet for me, I left this letter with them to assure you of my very humble respects and to let you know that, acting on information I received at the fort, that you had lost a vessel and that Indians had looted your goods and you were fighting with them. Upon this information, I came down river with 25 Frenchmen, 5 Shawinoese, and 5 Illinois. All the nations have danced the calumet for me. These are people that have feared us in the extreme since you destroyed this village. I shall end by telling you that I am greatly grieved that you are going back, having suffered the misfortune of failing to find you after 2 canoes skirted the coast for 30 leagues toward Mexico and 25 toward the Florida Cape. For want of fresh water, the canoes were forced to turn back. Although we have heard no news of you and have seen no signs of you, I am not without hope that God will give you marked success in your business and your undertaking. This I wish with all my heart. You do not have a more faithful servant than I, and I am giving up everything to look for you. Now that you have read his letter, what evidence do you have that Tonty was LaSalle's faithful servant?